The following is a presentation of Glad Tidings, a gospel community on a mission to love.
I want to speak to you this morning about the awesome God. We know Him and we love Him. His grace is so magnificent and His patience and love are so wondrous that we sometimes forget who God really is. We take for granted that He is the great Creator, and in Him we live and move and have our being. The Hubble Space Telescope has provided evidence that there are about 175 billion galaxies. Some of these galaxies contain about 10 million stars. Others contain more than 1 trillion stars. Some stars are so dense that not even light can escape from them. For instance, a piece of a neutron star the size of a pinhead would weigh 1 million tons. The galaxy that we live in is called the Milky Way. It contains about 200 billion stars. The universe, then, is absolutely incomprehensible. And to show you what a trillion is, a million seconds is 12 days. A billion seconds is 31 years. A trillion seconds is 31,688 years. And there are trillions and trillions of stars. Scientists have asked themselves, what lies beyond our space? And I want to quote their answer, which I find very interesting. I quote, "We cannot define what is outside, beyond, before, or after our universe because these concepts of space and time are only known to apply in the space-time universe itself. For example, where does the mass that is pulled into a black hole go? It is clear that it is no longer in our space and time because all that stellar matter would not fit into a single point. Then they say this, there are mysteries that we have not unraveled yet." And I find this amusing. They say it could be true, but it is unlikely that there is absolutely nothing beyond our universe. Maybe a parallel universe. Anyway, if there is nothing beyond our universe, what does nothing look like? So the space telescope called Hubble and outer space has shown us how magnificent and fantastic God really is. But did you know you can go almost as far inner space as you do outer space? In our own bodies, the molecules, atoms, and DNA strands that allow us to function are also beyond description. I cannot go into the amazing way that your double DNA strands duplicate themselves, but in your body, while you're sitting there, several hundred million are reproduced every day. More than 200 million strands of DNA reproduce themselves, and each one is 1/400th of an inch in size. Now, a DNA molecule cannot be seen by the naked eye because it is only 2 nanometers in diameter. Now, you may not know what a nanometer is, so I'll try to tell you. A nanometer is 1/1,000,000,000th of a meter. If you laid them side by side, you would have to place 400,000 of them side by side to make an inch. Now, your DNA molecule, which is extremely small, is a tightly wound strand that if you were to unwind it, it would stretch 3 feet in length. It has a double helix, so it is actually 6 feet in length. Now, remember, it is only 1/400,000,000th of an inch in size, and yet it contains more than 6 feet of strand. To try to get a better picture of this, the body is made up of about 100 trillion cells. That's your body. Don't waste time counting them. Just take my word for it. Inside each cell is a nucleus. And inside the nucleus, there are 46 chromosomes, which act as the packaging for the DNA molecule. Each DNA strand contains about 42,000 genes. These genes are the blueprint for your bodily structure, for instance, the color of your hair, the color of your eyes, and things like that. And one little piece of DNA from a fingernail or a hair, you've got trillions of them, so scientists can just take one, doesn't matter, drink from a glass, and they take it from the rim, and it's yours. No one has DNA like you. You are made by God as an individual. God says this, "Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And we say unto the Lord, "Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, all of my DNA. Yet being unperfect in thy book, all my members are written." Just one little DNA strand would not only fill the Encyclopedia Britannica with all the information, but it would fill many Encyclopedia Britannicas. And God says here, as David is confessing to him, "All my members were written in your book, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more number than the sands of the sea, and when I awake, I'm still with thee." In other words, David, without a microscope, had a revelation of God that the DNA molecules are more than the sand of the seashore, and God made them. He's a wonderful creator. And even through the mysteries of outer space and the mysteries of inner space, we do not really have a complete understanding of his greatness. The prophet Isaiah asked this question, "Who is this that comes from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This is that glorious one in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength." And God answers the question, "I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save." Then the question, "Well, wherefore art thou red in thine apparel? Why are your garments like one that treads the wine fat?" And God says, "I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in my anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments. And I will stain all my raiment, for the day of vengeance is in mine heart. The year of the redeemed is come." You see, God is standing here in this revelation with his clothes drenched in blood. A poem has said this, "Triumphant and victorious he appears, and honor in his looks and habit wears. How strong he treads, how stately he doth go, pompous and solemn as his pace, and full of majesty as his face. Who is this mighty hero? Who?" And God answers, "'Tis I, who to my promise faithful stand, I, who the powers of death and hell and the grave have foiled with his all-conquering hand, I, who most ready am, and mighty too, to save.'" Revelation 19:11, "And I saw the heavens open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Our God is indeed King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the all-powerful and all-conquering Savior and Lord. This great creator of the universe, seen and unseen, is our Savior. The hymn writer has said this, "Oh, how I love him. How I adore him. My breath, my sunshine, my all in all. The great creator became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwells in him. He fought sin, he fought death, and he fought hell for you and me. Not only is he our creator, not only is he our Savior, but he is also our champion in the battles of life." Joshua 5:13, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua said to him, "Are you for us or against us?" And he said, "Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship him and said to him, "What says my Lord unto his servant?" And the captain of the Lord's host said to him, "Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. Our Lord not only manages the universe and the DNA molecules, but he's captain of all heaven's armies. Did you know that demons believe in him and tremble? At the name of Jesus, chains of addiction and sinful bondage are broken. At the name of Jesus, lives are transformed. At the name of Jesus, sickness is healed. At the name of Jesus, marriages are restored. Exodus 5:11 asks this question, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" There is no being like our God. He's a tender in mercy and grace, and yet powerful in bringing his word to pass down to the minutest detail. He is trustworthy. He's more willing to give us the victory sometimes than we are to receive it. Isaiah 9 says, "For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise. Their garments are stained in blood. But this shall be with burning fuel of fire. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord is going to perform this." Do you really understand what that phrase means, Lord of hosts? Look up into the night sky. You know that he is, excuse me, the Lord of the hosts of stars and planets. Look into a microscope and know that he is the Lord of hosts of cells and molecules. Look into his glorious throne room and know that he is the Lord of hosts of countless angels, principalities, and heavenly powers. There isn't anything that this wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace cannot do. And in addition to all this, he loves you and me with an everlasting love. 1 Peter 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Amazing. "You who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through many temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold, perishes, were kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You don't know what you look like inside. Wait till this old flesh falls off and you're revealed by God as who you really are, one of his special children. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season you're in heaviness and many temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he's doing a work in you that's amazing. Why? We haven't seen him, but we love him. And even though we don't see him, we believe. You rejoice with unspeakable joy, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Do you think that today's economic hardships are too hard for God? Do you think that God has lost control? Do you think he's unable to sustain you and keep you? Do you think that he is able to supply all your needs? Do you think he's able to keep you by his power? The power that holds the universe together, the power that holds the cells of your body together, the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he says that is the power he bestows upon us. Through the presence and authority of the Holy Spirit, you and I, as a child of the Most High God, we can and we will have the victory in these closing days of time. Jude 24, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God and our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. If you can trust God for your eternal salvation, can you not trust him for your present moment by moment existence? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Did you know that God does not change? God does not get weary. He does not get bored or frustrated. He does not slumber or sleep. He says here, I will be your ever-present help in time of trouble. And when Satan comes like a flood, he lifts up a standard against him. Hebrews 7. But this man, because he continueth forever, has an unchangeable priesthood, and he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for him. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Does the phrase saved to the uttermost sound like defeat to you? In this present crisis that most of us are experiencing, the crisis around the world, he is still our Lord and Savior. He is the captain of our salvation, and he's at the right hand of the Father right now making intercession for each of us. We can't live perfect lives. If we could, he wouldn't be at the right hand of the Father. When I get up in the morning, the demons are supposed to tremble. I don't think they tremble too much. Maybe the Lord trembles. Oh no, Dave's awake. Lots of intercession because I'm a human being like everyone else. John 10:27. Jesus is speaking, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. God bless you. Saying to Becky, why are people coming to church? Why will they come to church tomorrow? You are sheep that have heard the voice of the Lord. You gather together, you follow him. He says, I'm going to give to them eternal life. They will never perish. No man shall pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The Jews couldn't handle it, so they picked up stones to stone him. But we don't. We worship him. What magnificent promises. Christ knows you so intimately. The very hairs of your head are numbered. Mine are being subtracted every day. But he calls you by name. He declares you will never perish. No man will ever be able to steal you away from his protecting hand. Colossians 2, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened, made alive together with him. He's forgiven you all of your sins and trespasses. He has blotted out the handwriting of ordinances against us." You got a clean slate, folks. It was contrary to us, so he took it out of the way, and what did he do? He nailed it to the cross. Next Sunday, I'm going to preach a sermon entitled Staking Your Claim. He nailed it to the cross. He staked our claim. And he spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, and he triumphed over them. In Christ and through his shed blood, you're clean and pure in his sight. Don't let anyone tell you you're dirty, you're unforgiven. If you've confessed him as your Savior, you're clean. He is the God, yes, with his clothing stained with blood. Blood that was shed for you and me. Blood that paid the ultimate price for the wages of sin. He actually died in our place. For each one who will trust him, that sacrifice is real. Soon the trumpet of the Lord's going to sound. Soon we'll be caught up to meet him, I believe, in the air. But equally soon, then his wrath and judgment will fall upon a terrible world. The crimson stains on his robes will be judgment of Satan and his followers. But it's going to be a wonderful day when our awesome God steps down to rescue his children. Revelation 14, 18, another angel came out from the altar, which had the power over fire, and cried with a loud voice to him with the sharp sickle, and said, "Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe." And the angel thrust in the sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden down without the city, and blood came out of the winepress to the horses' bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs. A furlong is 660 feet. Now this is a shocking verse. It speaks of the Battle of Armageddon. If you ever go to Israel, and we've been so many, many times, but you stand on the mountain overlooking the battle, the valley of Megiddo, and down below, Israeli jets are flying because there is an Israeli military base down there. And the hair stands up on the back of your head because you realize this is where the blood is going to flow, the wrath of God. See, nations are not bowing to him. They're writing him out. The commandments of God are being nullified by nation after nation after nation, changing laws. And God's going to have to deal with it, and it's very sad. But one day the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is going to deal with this world. But you're safe in the hollow of his hand. And I close with this promise of our mighty and powerful God in Matthew 10, 22. "You will be hated of all men for my name's sake." All you have to do is read the newspaper or watch television, and you realize that Christians are being slaughtered everywhere. In this last massacre that Becky just talked about, if you could quote from the Quran, your life was spared. If you were a Christian, you were immediately killed. We're hated for his name's sake. Christians who are peace-loving people, Christians who sacrifice to send missionaries around the world and to feed the hungry, Christianity that founded all of our major universities, which have forgotten God. "You'll be hated of all men for my name's sake." Don't worry. If you endure to the end, you're going to be saved. It may seem that you are being overwhelmed with problems. Now, I see Christians being attacked today. Home foreclosure, bankruptcy, loss of job, strain in your marital relationship, ungodly temptations, sinful bondage. With God's help and the presence of the Holy Spirit strengthening you, you will endure and you will survive because the blood will never lose its power. Never.
Thank you for listening to this message from our weekly gathering in Vancouver. To find ways you can join us on our mission to love, please visit our website at gtchurch.ca.